Gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. At that very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." This is the word of our Lord. Let us pray. In the words of my lips and the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You would think that people would want to put their very best foot forward when they are submitting a resume, wouldn't you? You would think that they would at least check for typos. Yet, according to the firm Accountemps, here are some real-life excerpts from real people's resumes. "Dear sir, I'm a rabid typist." I hope he or she doesn't bite anyone. "How about, here are my qualifications for you to overlook." Okay. Or, "Hope to hear from you, shorty." Takes one to know one, I guess. "Do you know what it takes to make it in life?" It takes hard work, right? People talk about working smarter and not harder, but I think that can be very deceptive. People who make a difference in this world, you see, do both. They do both. They have a passion, a vision, this burning desire to be the best that they can be. Some of you may be baseball fans. The others who aren't will just have to put up with me today. Some of you baseball fans may recognize the name Brett Butler. According to Greg Johnson in an article in Youth Magazine, Butler was this tiny kid that all the rest of the guys always picked on. He did not have a very fun youth. Brett says, "Every day for 2 years, the other kids in junior high would chase me around the playground and try to pull my underwear up over my pants. I would run and run and finally just run home. Every day." For Brett, the perils of being small didn't end at age 12. When he played football in high school, they had to go to the junior high to get his pads to fit his small frame. He played quarterback. He had to always roll out so that he could see over the offensive line. His voice was so high that it cracked when he called the signals, and of course the opposition would laugh. But his dad told him something that he never forgot. His dad said, "If you don't believe in yourself, nobody else will. You don't believe in yourself, nobody else will." And that motivated him to be his very best. His high school baseball coach ridiculed him when Brett had the nerve to say that he wanted to play baseball at Arizona State, one of the top baseball colleges in the country at that time. Probably still is. But Brett grabbed his glove, went off to Arizona State anyway. He wound up as a leading hitter on the junior varsity team, but was not offered the scholarship that he desperately wanted. So he went off to tiny southeastern Oklahoma State, where he eventually became a two-time All-American. 1979, he was drafted by the Atlanta Braves organization in the 23rd round. Brett retired in 1997. He's recognized as the best bunter in baseball. He stole more than 40 bases each year, scored over 100 runs as well. Brett made the All-Star team in 1991, was a top 10 in hitting in 1992. Did Brett Butler make it to the major leagues on the basis of pure athletic ability? Of course not. Here's a secret that I think we need to tell every young person in this land. And that is the very best work harder. The very best work harder. It's true in sports, in business, in music, in every endeavor in our lives. The secret of life is passion, determination, desire. Well, Jesus told this parable that I just read to you from Luke about this man who owned this vineyard. And that vineyard was his fig tree. Fig tree that had no fruit on it. Cut it down, the owner said to the gardener. For 3 years I've been looking for fruit on this tree. Have not found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground? Well, time and time again, I think Jesus showed us his impatience with people who do not take advantages of the opportunities that God has given them. They're nice people, but they're not producing fruit. So Christ asks, what is it that you are passionate about? What is it that you're giving your life to accomplish? What fruit are you bearing? I think we need to see first that Jesus isn't asking the fig tree to produce bananas. Not at all. Jesus isn't asking anything out of the ordinary for that fig tree. He isn't asking the fig tree to become an oak or a redwood. Jesus is only asking that it accomplishes what a fig tree should accomplish. Bear figs. You see, you and I have different gifts, don't we? Some of us have nice singing voices, not me. Some have graceful bodies. Some have high IQs. Some are artists. Some are good with numbers. Others might be good with people. All of us have some natural ability. My ability will be different from yours. The secret is to find our natural abilities and give them all that we've got. You see, that's what genius really is. When we say that someone is a genius, all we are saying is that they gave maximum effort in the area of their lives where they have some natural ability. That's it. That's really the secret for success. Find out what you're naturally good at and give it your best. A person who can't carry a tune probably will never sing with a metronome, no matter how hard they work. On the other hand, there are probably many performers who as young people had quite ordinary voices, but through hard work, thousands and thousands of hours of practice have become accomplished singers. It was not that they had extraordinary talent to begin with. It was that they took what they had and used it to the utmost of their ability. Beethoven's teacher once said about him, as a composer, he is hopeless. Walt Disney was once fired by a newspaper editor because he was thought to have no good ideas. Tell that to the millions that watch his films. When F.W. Woolworth was 21, he got a job at a store, but he was not allowed to wait on customers, they said, because he didn't have enough sense. Each of these famous people proves to have a certain genius But was it innate, or did it grow out of their dedication to developing what they had been actually given? You see, the point is that life does not ask us to become what we are not. The fig tree was only required to produce figs, no more. You and I are only asked to accomplish what our natural gifts allow. But we are asked to accomplish that. That. Man was walking through the countryside when he noticed this young fellow standing at attention, in a field. And in the afternoon, the walker came back along that same path, and he noticed that fellow was still standing there. Well, of course, he became curious, approached the young man, and asked him, of course, what he was doing. The young man said, "I'm practicing for the Nobel Prize." The walker said, "Well, how's that?" "Well," the young man said, "one of the criteria is to be outstanding in your chosen field." I'm glad you got that. Outstanding in your chosen field. If you and I are going to be outstanding in our chosen field, we're going to have to do more than just stand around. For example, how's your memory? Did you know that most of us do not really have poor memories? What we have are untrained memories. A psychologist named Erickson and his associates at Carnegie Mellon University have taught some college students to listen to a list of these random digits, and then to recite the list correctly. After 50 hours of practice with differing sets of random digits, four students were able to remember up to 20 digits after a single hearing. Well, one student, a business major, not especially talented in mathematics, was able to remember 102 digits. The feat took him more than 400 hours of practice. If you met him, you'd say, "What a memory." No, actually, what dedication. So you see, success is taking what we have and giving it our best. We can develop our memory if that is our desire. We can develop our vocabulary. We can develop our vocational skills. All we have to do is have that desire. We have to have that passion to do it. Of course, there's one area in life where all of us are equally gifted. That is following Jesus and bearing spiritual fruit. The question is it that important to us? Is it? Are we willing to give it our best? To Tom Mertz, the question is phrased like this: do we really love Jesus that much? Do we really love Jesus that much? Jim was watching a movie on television, and he saw this Muslim from India fall on his knees in the dust, the heat of the day. And five times a day, this Muslim stopped, faced the holy city of Mecca, and worshipped Allah. And Jim asked himself that question: do I really love Jesus like that? Another time, Jim laid in the hospital for 10 days recuperating from a bout from pneumonia. It was Saturday morning, wintry days of January. Glanced outside, cold, gray day, some rain coming down. Thankful he was inside, of course. Then he happened to see on this very busy intersection of the city, below his hospital window, this young lady. Teenager, maybe, perhaps, who was standing on the street corner selling roses. She never stopped smiling all day, he said, in that cold rain, in the midst of all that congested traffic, in spite of jeers and sneers of those who on occasion nearly ran her down. She never stopped all day in the rain to sell flowers for her cult leader, the Reverend Soon Ying Moon. Jim cried as he asked himself that question again. Do I really love Jesus that much? Another occasion, Saturday morning, Jim's doorbell rang. He opened the door. He was met by two lovely and enthusiastic young people. They were smiling, anxious to talk about the doctrines of their religious sect. They weren't doctrines that Jim could accept, but these two young people were so sincere, so dedicated to their cause, that Jim couldn't help but be impressed. As he closed the door, he peered out the window to watch as they left, walked down his driveway. He asked himself that question again. Do I really love Jesus? Am I ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Would I go out and knock on doors and tell others about Christ? You see, it's not a matter of opportunity, is it? It's not for what want of ability. It's a matter of passion, of desire, of giving one's best to the Master, to Jesus. Of that barren tree, the owner of the vineyard says to the gardener, cut it down. Why should it use up the ground, waste all the nutrients in that soil? Gardener says, just give it another year, sir. Let me put fertilizer around it. If it bears fruit, well and good. But if not, then you can cut it down. There's still time. There's still time. Wouldn't this be a good time and a good place to ask ourselves whether we are bearing fruit that Christ means for us to bear? In our jobs, in our communities, in our homes, in serving Him. We're not being asked to be something that we are not. All that Jesus Christ is asking of us is that we be the best that we can be. And you see, that's the secret of success. So go out and bear fruit for Christ. Amen.